The Psalm 48 and the verse 9 is a verse that I want to leave with you this morning. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. Here is the testimony of a wise people. The testimony of a wise people. We have thought. It is the testimony of a wise people given directly to God. Because they say, we have thought of thy living kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. It's as if they're able to lift up their hearts. It's as if they're able to lift up their hands and to say it directly in the face of God. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. They are thus able to testify to the searcher of all hearts. We have thought. And it would be good if we also were this people. It would be good if we also, every time that we congregated in this house, were able at the end of it to be able to lift up our hands and our hearts unto God and to say sincerely and truly to the searcher of hearts, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. So it is a testimony of a wise people directly given in the face of God, the searcher of their hearts. It is the testimony of this wise people that I want to consider with you this morning. There are several things in the text that I draw your attention. I first of all draw your thoughts to this, that this people give testimony to their being in a fit place, because they say, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. So they thus relate to the Lord, we've been in your temple. The reference is undoubtedly to their attendance at the house of God. God, of course, has a heavenly temple. Heaven of heavens is his dwelling place. Heaven is his palace. Heaven is his presence chamber. You remember the Lord Jesus told us about that. In my Father's house are many mansions. So if there are many mansions, it must be a powerful palace that is the Father's house. And that is ordinarily the abiding place of God, his heavenly temple. The place that he built himself with his own hands. And into the midst of that house, God's people shall one day come. Into the midst of that house, the child of God, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has promised, will be made a pillar in the house of God, in the heavenly temple. But of course, that is all future. This testimony is of the past and of the present. It is not directly related to the future hope of the people of God, when they shall, in the midst of the heavenly temple, think perpetually upon his loving kindness. That's true. They shall. But the text is not in the main about a future hope. It is not, we shall think, but it is, we have thought of thy loving kindness in the midst of thy temple. It is true that this activity of thinking upon the love of God will continue in heaven. It is true that it is of the same nature as now in our earthly tabernacle here, although exalted in kind and to a greater measure. Heaven is just like one endless church service. And we shall think of the loving kindness of God there and feel it. But that is still future. The reference is not to the heavenly sanctuary. The reference is to God's house on earth. the temple below where God manifests his presence. Because not only does God have a house on earth, on heaven, but he also has his house on earth. He has his house on earth. And into the midst of that place, the people of God are found. Now, of course, at the time of the composing of this psalm, that temple was at Jerusalem. And there's much said here about Zion and about Jerusalem and about the location of God's house there. The ancient people of God recognized that God had a house. He had a place of public worship. He had a day of worship. He had a sanctuary. And into that sanctuary, the people of God gathered to behold the beauty of the Lord in the services, in the symbols, in the dress of the priest, in all the activities that went on there. They went into the midst of the temple. They recognized God's house, and they were gathered there, and they give fitting testimony to being found often in that fitting place. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. But this text is not only true for the Old Testament saint. It's equally true today for us that are the people of God in New Testament times. The saint of God can say this today as well. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. God has not changed. He still has ordained his house below. He still has his place of public worship. He still has his place where he ordains his name to be put, his sanctuary, where he manifests his beauty in gospel service, in gospel worship, in service, in sermon, and in psalm, in his house. That house now, of course, is not confined to Jerusalem. It is found in every place where God's church congregates, because the tent has widened now. The tent has widened out to include the Gentiles and the nations. And it's not practical now, and it's not necessary now to go up to the temple in Jerusalem to worship God, because the Lord Jesus Christ has said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Because now the Bible says that wherever gospel incense is offered in Christ's name, there is God's house. Not at this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, but in all places where his people congregate to worship him in spirit and in truth, where the people of God meet as a congregation under the headship of Jesus Christ and under his officers and under his ordinances, there is for us the temple of God. There is for us Bethel, the house of God. And that place for us today is this place. This is for us the midst of God's house, God's temple. And thus you are gathered today in a fitting place, in the most fitting place of all. And not only did the people of God testify to their being gathered in the temple, but you will notice that they testify to their being gathered in the midst. In the midst of thy temple. Into the midst they gathered. They not only attend God's house. They don't just have a loose, casual connection with the house of God. But the people of God desire to be in the midst of the house of God, to be in the midst of the temple, to be engaged in all the activities in the house of God. So they not only attend, and they not only are in the circumference and the outskirts, but the people of God, they want to be in the midst. Not content merely with the outskirts, they go into the inner parts of God's house. The word obviously suggests the middle, the center, the entrails. If it was a beast here, And it said in the midst of the beast, it would be the entrails of the beast. And in the midst of the house, it means getting into the middle of it. It suggests not a physical being in the middle, of course, but it suggests hearty involvement in the house of God. It suggests not just a loose connection, not just an occasional visit, but it suggests earnest and faithful attendance at the house of God. It suggests intense focusing on all that goes on in the house of God. It suggests bringing our heart, bringing our whole spirit, bringing our whole being into the worship and the activity and the service that goes on there. Don't be on the outskirts of God's house. Be in the midst of the temple. And of course, it suggests a desire to be near to Christ. Because this is where Christ has promised to be, isn't it? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. And so that's where the people of God want to be. They want to be in the midst of the temple. They want to be near to Christ. They want to see the Savior. They want to behold the beauty of the Lord in the midst of his temple, where he has found himself. Because Christ is in the midst, and no one else has a center of tension in this place, and no one else comes to the fore in this house. The only one in the midst is our heavenly Lord. And we are gathered around him, who is the sun of our attention and our attraction. Yes, in the midst of thy temple, O Lord, we are found. They give testimony to being found in a fitting place. And may the Lord give his people a love for his house. May the Lord give us a desire to be in the midst of his house, to be found there faithful, to be found there earnest, to be found there with our eyes upon Christ, in whose name we gather. But they not only give testimony to their being found in a fitting place, you will notice, secondly, that they give testimony to their being engaged in a fitting activity. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. We have thought. Attendance at God's house, brethren and sisters, should be accompanied with the most intense activity of all. And what is the most intense activity in which the human frame can be involved? It's thought. Intense thought. Earnest thought. That is the most intense activity of which we are capable of as human beings. And it is that activity that we engage in the midst of God's house. The activity of thinking. We have thought. You know, no one should be passive in God's house. We should all be very active in the midst of God's temple. If you think that the people of God are passive merely in the house of God, and that the only one who is active in the house of God is the minister, you are greatly mistaken. We have thought. We, the people of God who gather in the midst of the temple, we have thought of thy loving kindness. We're all to be thinkers in God's house. Thinkers. We don't come like beasts. We don't come like animals, brethren and sisters. We come as rational beings. And what marks us out as rational beings? We think. We consider. We reflect. We weigh up. We imagine. We picture. We meditate, we muse. That's why we are not animal. That's why we're not like the beasts that perish. We're more like angels, because we think. We have not just natural instinct, which is all that the beasts have been given, but we've been given rational mind and sober spirit, and we think. We're like angels, not in nature, but in our rational thinking capacity. We reason in God's house. And that's what God wants us to do. That's what he delights in. He wants us to come in not as animals who merely go through the ceremonies and indulge in the flesh and get their instincts tickled with a few physical sensations. No, we come to think. We come to meditate. We come to worship. We come to feel not merely sensual pleasure, but to feel the deep emotions of the heart as we think on the loving kindness of God in the midst of his house. Church attendance and congregational worship is not primarily about the body. It is not something sensual. It's not about making us feel good through sensual activity, like a concert, or like a cinema, or like the world's disco house, where merely lights and sounds and movement creates a kind of sensual pleasure. No, we in the house of God are worshippers. We are thinkers. God doesn't act upon us through the flesh and through the body, but through the heart and through the mind. And so we have thought of thy loving kindness, O Lord, in the midst of thy temple. Church is not about creating an atmosphere that acts on the flesh. It's about engagement in the hardest and the most intense activity of all for which we were created. To think. To think deeply. To think carefully. And church attendance is merely, mainly and primarily about the mind and heart. The Lord wants us to be thinkers in his house. We have thought. Your best part is your mind. And God has given you a mind to know him. And he's given you the materials whereby he reveals himself to you. But you have to use your mind. You're not going to know God by instinct. You're only going to know him by thought. By meditation, by careful weighing up and consideration of his word and truth. We have thought in the midst of thy temple. Every man is to think. There's no exception. You'll remember Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. The context is slightly different, but Paul says, I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man. There's not an exception. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. You will notice that of himself is in italics, so it literally is not to think more highly than he ought to think. And the sense is, of course, not to think about foolish things, not to think about himself, not to waste his time thinking upon things that are vain. But he says to every man, while he's not to think negatively upon these things, he is to think soberly. So in other words, if you could read the text, to every man that is among you, to think soberly. Every man is a thinker in God's house. And I want you to be all thinkers. And that's what the preaching is about. And that's what the singing is about. And that's what the praying is about. So that in all these activities, the mind is engaged and we are thinking. The Old Testament believer was a thinker in God's house. Some people think that the ancient Jew, he just went through the ceremonies like a kind of an animal. Didn't give any thought to what went on. But let me tell you, the opposite is true. He did think. As he saw the priest dressed up, he thought, now why does a priest have to dress like that? What is God telling me in that? And as he offered up the beast, and as the blood was shed, and as the blood was applied to the mercy seat, and as the priest, the high priest, could only go in to the most holy place once a year, the Jew thought, what does that mean? I have thought of thy loving kindness in the temple. I see thy love in all these things, Lord. He was a thinker. God was always addressing the people of God in the Old Testament times. Consider your ways. Remember these things. Remember the works. Understand the types and the sacrifices. And he gave us the Bible. And he gave us the offerings in great detail. Not just for the priests to carry them out, but for the people of God to think and to consider. And to reflect. And we are in New Testament times are no different. We should also be able to say, brethren and sisters, whenever we meet in the midst of God's house, we should be able to say, we have thought. Whenever you sing the hymns, we have thought. Whenever you listen to the minister pray, we have thought. Whenever you hear the word of God read, we have thought. Whenever you hear the sermon proclaimed and your mind is engaged in intense meditation, we have thought. Yes, and even when you give your offering to the Lord, not as a beast, but we have thought of thy loving kindness and we return thee the same in this. Worship was intense. Worship was meditative. Psalm 27. But why did David go to the house of God? Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To put his mind into neutral, to turn off and wind down. Was that what he found the house of God to be, a place where he could go and wind down and put his feet up, as it were, and relax and let the minister be the one, only one who's busy? No, he says, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold an activity of the mind, to behold the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord in the priestly dress, the beauty of the Lord in the sacrifices, the beauty of the Lord in the hymns of praise, the beauty of the Lord in all the ceremony, the beauty of the Lord in all the colors and symbols and types round about the house of God, to think, to behold the beauty, and to inquire earnestly with a meditative spirit in his temple. Yes, worship was intense for the Old Testament Jew, and it's no different for us. This is a testimony of a wise people. We have been thinkers in the midst of thy temple. Child of God, you are a noble creature with a great intellect and a great mind. And God wants you to use it in his house. And come here, brethren and sisters, not like beasts into a barn, but as noble creatures into a glorious place where God manifests his greatness for you to see and to be taken up with and become a worshipper of him, the true and the living God. A place to consider, reflect and meditate. So sing thoughtfully, child of God. Listen to the prayers thoughtfully. Listen to the reading of the word of God thoughtfully. Listen to the sermon thoughtfully. We have thought. But not only is there testimony to their being in a fitting place, not only is there testimony to their being engaged in a fitting activity, but I want you to notice lastly, they give their testimony of being taken up with a fitting theme. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God. The thought life, you know, must have material. It must have fuel, worthy fuel to burn, so that the thought life warms the heart and makes us hearty and warm worshippers. So the material upon which we think is very important. The psalmist says, Psalm 39 and the verse 3, my heart was hot within me. May the Lord give us such a heart, men and women. But how comes this hot heart into the psalmist? He tells us, my heart was hot within me while I was musing, while I was thinking, while I was meditating, the fire burned. Then I spake with my tongue. Oh, it's a good thing to speak out of a hot heart. That's what the preacher needs. You pray that your preacher has a hot heart every Sabbath, so that he speaks out of a burning heart and burning words come from the midst of his soul. Aye, my heart was hot, the psalmist said, while meditating and musing upon the word, the fire burned, and then I was able to speak. And child of God, that's what you want as well. A hot, burning heart. Did not our hearts burn within us while he spake to us by the way, and we thought upon his words? You know, they didn't get a burning heart just by turning off and the word, the Lord Jesus was speaking the words. No. If they had turned off and thought about the football match or thought about what they were going to do tomorrow, they wouldn't have had the burning heart. Child of God, you have to leave everything outside. And you have to give your heart to the Word of God. Did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke with us by the way? We are to think upon things that are good. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, and it is a commandment, think. Child of God, think on these things. And that's what is really the aim of the Holy Spirit in the gathering of his people into his house. To make you thinkers, and to make you think upon things that are lovely, things that are honest, things that are true, and especially to think upon the most heart-thrilling thing of all, thy loving kindness, O God. The people of God in our text bear testimony to the greatest of all themes in which they are engaged. The greatest theme of all that fuels their hearts, the greatest theme of all that makes them feel good, the greatest theme of all that makes them worshippers and followers of Jesus Christ, it is the theme of his love, the theme of his loving kindness, the theme of his grace and of his mercy. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God. That is the chief theme of the heavenly sanctuary, you know. Heaven is chiefly a place of love. There the Father of love abides. There the Son of love abides. There the Spirit of love dwells. All that comes from God is love. The beams of his love. The river that flows from his presence is a river of love. The ocean in heaven is an ocean of love. And the saints of God in glory, they bask in God's love. It is the love of God that surrounds them. It is the love of God that thrills them. It is the love of God that excites them. It is the love of God and the fullness of assurance of it that they now enjoy in glory, that they're taken up with in the heavenly sanctuary. I tell you this, child of God, when you go to heaven, this will be the greatest feeling of all. Yes, it is heaven. Chief theme there, the chief sense there, the chief thought there is the thought of the love of God to our souls. unto him that loved us, is the first line of the new hymn in the heavenly sanctuary. But we are not waiting to heaven to think about this loving kindness. We are not waiting to heaven to feel this loving kindness. We are not waiting to heaven to be assured of this loving kindness. We are thinking of it now. In the midst of thy temple on earth, we have thought of thy loving kindness. This is our most delightful theme. This is our chief theme. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. It is this theme, the divine love that we never tire of proclaiming. It is this theme, the divine love that we never tire of singing about. It is this theme that sweetens all our trials. It is this theme that makes every burden and every mountain a valley, and we can go on. It is this, that God loves us, that Jesus Christ has died for us, that we're brought into the fold and the family of God, and into the midst we feel the embrace of our Heavenly Father's love. Yes, we have thought of thy loving kindness. That strengthens us for the week ahead. A subject unrivaled and unexcelled. It is often mentioned in the Bible, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God, the psalmist says. Thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, the psalmist said. I have not concealed thy loving kindness. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. These are just several references to which the psalmist continually makes to the loving kindness of the Lord. We have thought of thy loving kindness. And of course, in this word, loving kindness, the Holy Spirit intends the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. John chapter 3 comes to mind. We read that verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How excellent is the divine love to us in Jesus Christ. God loved you, and he sent Christ for you, and he offered Christ to you in the gospel, and he worked in your heart to embrace Christ and to take him, and now you love him who first loved you. You are enwrapped, as the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You are engulfed in the ocean of gospel love. God so loved the world. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O Lord, in the midst of the temple. We are taken up with thy Son Jesus, the Son of thy love, who thou hast given us in thy love. The hymn writer put it, when all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view, I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. This verse, at the very least, means we are taken up with Christ. I have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. And so when the Old Testament saint, whenever he went into the temple, he was surrounded with the divine symbols of the loving kindness and mercy of God. When he saw the mercy seat and the blood there upon it, and a God who reconciles him to the sinner to himself, because the Old Testament saint went up as a sinner. And yet he went into a place where he knew he was accepted because of the priest, because of the sacrifice, because of the shed blood, because of the altar of sacrifice, the brazen altar. He looked upon all the symbols round about him. He looked upon the priest. He looked upon the atonement. He looked upon the offering. And when he looked upon it all, he saw the loving kindness of God to him, the poor sinner. He looked upon the table of showbread, the provision for all the people of God and the loaves. And he saw the altar of incense, the perpetual going up of the incense on his behalf before God, reconciling him to God, the intercession of his Christ. And he saw the lamp. Oh, the provision for him in his darkness, the light in the dark place, to give him light, which God has given him in his loving kindness. He has light because of the loving kindness of God. He has food because of the loving kindness of God. He has acceptance and reconciliation. He has the forgiveness of his sins. He has the blood. He has the priest. Why? Because of the loving kindness of God. The child of God, you have all these things as well. And as you come into the house of God and meditate on your priest, and meditate on your acceptance, and meditate on Calvary, and meditate on the gospel, and meditate on what God has done for you in Jesus Christ, as you think of his loving kindness, you are enwrapped in it. And you become a hearty worshipper of a God who loves you. If we have not the sense of the divine love, we have nothing. And we are of all men most miserable. But we have the divine love. The love that brought us into this house. The love that gave us a Savior. The love that gave us Calvary. The love that gave us the feast of the table. We have it all. Dear saint, don't be cast down this morning. God loves you. If bad things have happened in your life, that doesn't mean God doesn't love you. If he's taken away some loved one, or if some trial has come across your path, that doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Think of our Lord Jesus Christ, all the trials that came across his path, all the losses that he had to face, even the loss of his heavenly Father's presence. But I tell you, the Father always loved him in the midst of all the trials. Those trials were not a sign of the divine hatred. No. So because bad things happen to us, and because trials come to us, it is not a sign that God hates us. Rather, even the bad things, all things work together for good to them that love God. And you only love someone when you know they love you. And so we have thought of thy loving kindness. So child of God, don't be cast down. The Father loves you. Christ has died for you. Jesus is yours. Rejoice. Be glad in your Lord. And let this be our testimony every week when we come into God's house. Come into God's house. Come into the midst of the place where your thoughts will be more effectually and more powerfully raised, because it is in this place that it happens. This is what the ancient people of God found. It was in the midst of the temple that we found our thoughts raised unto thy loving kindness. Child of God, you ought not to miss God's house. You ought to be in the midst. It's a place where you'll learn more of your Savior's love. So let this be our testimony every week. May the Holy Spirit make us this wise and blessed people, found in the best place, in the midst of thy temple, engaging in the best activity we have thought and taken up with the greatest of all things, thy loving kindness. Oh God.